Hi, I'm back again with another Longevity Now podcast, the place for all your news and views of life extension from around the world. And in this podcast, we have someone who's not from the traditional life extension background, but he is an impressive biohacker nonetheless. Maybe you haven't heard of Patrick Toit before. He famously reversed his heart disease after he was told it was irreversible. Yes, he's an engineer. He figured out the way to do it, and he's been helping people over the last 15 to 20 years. You definitely want to check out this podcast to find out all the details about how he did it. And now I would like to welcome to the podcast, Patrick Toit. Welcome aboard.
My God, happy to see you again. Happy to be on your podcast. It's been way too long.
It has been a while. For those of you not familiar with Patrick Toit, he used to be a production manager in the paper industry for many years, and he recently got a PhD in leadership, but also famous for reversing heart disease or cardiovascular disease. And the short story is here, I'll just cover it again for everyone. Most people are familiar with it, that you had what was considered end stage, kind of incurable hardening of the arteries or plaque buildup, a poor cardiovascular system. It was about 15, 20 years ago, and you decided on your own, you are going to figure it out how you can cure cardiovascular disease through various lifestyle and supplementation modifications. And it worked. And right. Patrick, for people who are not familiar, has been an attendee and a speaker at many conferences around the United States, even I think internationally too, because of the dramatic reversal in his heart condition. So right. He proved that it can be done without expensive medications that have lots of side effects that might not even cure your condition. Patrick did it. We're happy to see you healthy and on the podcast again. Give us an update. You had a program where you had either, I think it was a 12-headed dragon or a 7-headed dragon.
Multi-headed dragon of heart disease.
Yes, multi-headed dragon of heart disease. There are many different issues, inflammation, infections, different things, and supplementation, vitamins that you did implement. And is there any update on that recently? Are you sticking with the same program, or have you added a couple of things, changed a couple of things? Give us an update.
Well, just for the folks who have never heard us talk, in November of 2002, specifically November 13th at 1:30 in the afternoon, I was given less than 4 years to live because my left main was completely calcified from the wall of the heart to the branch. It was a score of 337. I told my attending cardiologist, if it wasn't for the Mayo Clinic, I'd be dead. So hats off to them. I'm not going to bash big medicine, big pharma, just not going to do it. So I told my attending cardiologist, my body got me into this mess. My body will get me out of this mess. He thought I was in denial, and a couple of my friends bet him $500 that I'd be alive in 4 years. And in 2.5 years, my left main was completely clear. So I have since then, which has been 22 years now, I read approximately 4 hours a day, 7 days a week, about heart disease and health primarily. One of the things, I just got a text message from a gentleman in Australia. And if you give me just a second, I'll read what he said. And I can't publish this for obvious reasons, but let's see. My calcium score in 1 year went from 348 to 265. Now, according to the literature, you're supposed to increase your calcium score, if you're lucky, 17% per year. But he reversed it by about 25-30%.
Which most people would say is impossible. I mean, any hospital I know in my area, and if they say your arteries are calcified, they'll say, not much we can do except try and stop it from advancing any further. But and this associate of yours have reversed it.
And there was a lady, 86 years old, and she lived just outside of Stanford University. This happened 4 years ago. She called me up in the parking lot crying like the devil. And I said, what can I do for you? She said, I just got back from Stanford, and they said my carotids are between 85 and 95% occluded, which isn't too good. And they said, there's nothing we can do for you. So I said, why are you calling me? She said, "I heard from a friend of a friend of a friend. If I call you, you might give me hope." And I said, "Well, okay, well, we can give it a shot." So I don't hear from her for 2 years. 2 years later, she calls me up and both carotids are clear. And about the same time, a guy from South Carolina, his first name was Toby. Great guy. Calls me up. He went to the VA. His carotids were about 75% plus, choked off. They basically said, "There's nothing we can do for you." He heard about me from a friend of a friend. Without boring it, the actual story with Toby's hilarious. But 2.5 years later, he calls me up. He says, "One's at 5% and the other one's zero." And in both cases, the technician that did the tests, one at Stanford and the other one at in somewhere in South Carolina, said, "We must have done the test wrong." Now, you can't screw that during the thing.
No, that's
But
right. And
okay,
now,
so.
obviously, they got the program from you, your
Right,
protocol.
right.
And what would you say is the key thing? Obviously, some people already know that you developed your own concentrated K vitamin supplement,
Right.
and it is actually called Concentrated K, spelt with a K. And Wausau Wellness Center, we sell that on our website, obviously, but you can get it elsewhere as well from Patrick. That is one component which I know you have said was pretty key. What are the couple other key things you think are the
Well,
biggest contributors to these successes that you've seen?
this may sound, well, it's not crazy now. 20 years ago, it was insane. Like I told Dr. Bill Davis, who wrote the book Wheat Belly, great guy,
Many people are
fantastic
familiar with that.
holistic cardiologist. I first met him, I think, in 2004, and I said, "Dr. Davis, heart disease is a gut bacteria problem." And he looked at me and thought I was nuts until I explained to him the pathology of it. See, in the paper industry, I not only made paper, but the paper industry is highly twisted around biochemistry and biophysiology. Think about this. You take a maple tree, and in 2 hours, you get a ream of copy paper. There's a lot going on chemistry-wise to do that. So I have two subspecialties in the paper industry. One is anaerobic bacteria, and the other one is instrumentation and control systems. And in instrumentation and controls, you cannot have perceptions. Everything you do is root cause failure analysis. Everything you do is analytical problem solving. And you're always double checking your double checks. Instrumentation and controls people just don't wear a tin hat. I'd like to know what it feels like to wear a tin hat. I think it'd be rather fun, really. But so, okay, what we got going on is that gut bacteria thing was determined by April of 2003. I had put in close to, I don't know, 1,000 hours of reading. And back then the internet was pretty much all geeky stuff. And my background is in biochemistry, biophysiology, basic chemistry, basic math, all that stuff. And as a pre-med, didn't just barely missed medical school twice. So I could read the literature and understand what they were talking about. So when I finally figured this out, which was in April of 2003, I wrote it all down and I'm going to go through it just briefly and I'll send it to you in an email. I tell people, if you want to get rid of calcification, it's like putting air in your tires. Can you drive from Wausau to Madison with three tires with air and one not? Yeah, but the ride just doesn't quite get there all that well. So put air in your tires first. So the first thing is you have to get your free T3 right, which is a thyroid test.
Thyroid hormone, yeah.
Right. And Google lipids can help that, in which I believe you guys sell that there. And that's good stuff. Free T3, free. It needs to be in a range of 3.5 to 5.0 picograms per milliliter. Then what's next, which is important, and you guys sell this product, and the people of Wausau are so lucky they got a store like yours. The vitamin D rides on its own carrier protein. Vitamin D activates two enzymes. It's called ABCA1 and ABCG-1. When those are activated by having the proper amount of D, which is somewhere, it's kind of funny if you don't mind, the
Yeah,
doctor
just give it,
told
if you
me
could just
in.
give us the proper level of the vitamin D, that'd be great. At
Yeah,
what?
well, they told me 22 years ago it was 30 nanograms per milliliter, and now it's up to 50, and it should
50, I
be
thought, right.
60 to 120, somewhere in there. Okay.
Okay.
But you get below 50, bad things are going to happen, per the research. Everything I'm talking about is per the literature. It's not a supposition. And then when you get your D correct, it upregulates a protein called uncarboxylated matrix clot protein. The MK7 from concentrated K carboxylates the matrix Gla protein. In other words, that lights the fuse. So the carboxylated matrix Gla protein then allows for the beta HDL to s start sucking out the lipids, aka the fat in the foam cells. Okay, so now that's the next step. The lipid core is where the fat is, or in the foam cells, which is basically reverse cholesterol transport. Now, what helps that is CoQ10 riding on the LDL particle. CoQ10, which you sell in the form of ubiquinol, which is really good stuff, 100 to 200 micrograms a day is about all you need. It acts as chemical Velcro, which holds the beta HDL to the foam cell to allow the beta HDL to suck the fat out of the foam cell. And when the beta HDL gets full of fat, it sends a signal to your APOA-1 to come in and attach itself to the beta HDL, which creates HDL, which allows the HDL to get released from the cell wall or the arterial wall and then goes to the liver for reprocessing. Isn't that cool?
Yeah, that
Now,
is. Now, one thing I wanted to stop just briefly is when you're mentioning the K and the ubiquinol, would you strategize as a person who's taking that supplement to take them together, like the D, the K, the ubiquinol at the same time,
well,
or?
yeah, I like simplicity. Ubiquinol, K, D. It's easiest to go into your system when you take it with a fat. In other words, a little bit of half and half in your coffee. You don't have to go crazy, or in your smoothie, something simple, because it stimulates your chylomicrons to grab onto it and pull it into your liver. You know, it just, do you have to have a certain ratio of D to K? No, that's marketing hooey. But you need to titrate your D to what's needed for your body. And if you're dealing with athletes, athletes burn D as fast as they burn glucose. So if you're dealing, say, in the wintertime with hockey players in the Wausau area, I would bet you they have got really low D, same with basketball players and swimmers. And they need to be on a D supplement, period. They just, how
Yeah,
much?
I'm surprised how many people don't supplement vitamin D, even though there's a lot of research out there.
Oh God, yeah. In fact, even the NHL has discovered that D is important. My
One
mind.
thing I wanted to mention here before I get too far advanced here into any changes that you made in your protocol, your regimen, or how you stay healthy, the gut bacteria, could you kind of clearly pinpoint how that plays a significant role in this whole transport chain and the removal of the lipids?
Okay, well, when you take a supplement, let's say concentrated K, the first thing that loves K is your gut bacteria. The mitochondria of gut bacteria love K, and they're going to eat it first. And you've seen studies where, oh, I've taken K and it doesn't show up in your system. Well, it's not going to. Your gut bacteria are going to eat it first. And then what's left over, it goes into your system. And that's why the formula in concentrated K is based on what the world's experts told me and why they told me this, of how much of each one to put in there to guarantee that you get what you need where it needs to go.
Into the
Past. Yeah.
bloodstream.
Yeah. In fact, one of the person who recommended K1 at that level was Dr. Suddes from the University of Madison. Madtown guy. He's since passed away, but they said, yeah, you got to have it. Now, another thing that screws up your gut bacteria, if you want to call it, is taking an antibiotic called Cipro and one of the Cipro analogs. Cipro selectively kills the gut bacteria that liberate the K from the food that you eat. You eat broccoli, you've had Cipro, the K goes right through, it doesn't get into your system. Now, isn't that something? Holy Hannah, Pete, I'm telling you. So that's why they've come up with different antibiotics to take the place of Cipro, because they've learned that. So when I first tackled this problem, I ate broccoli and sauerkraut like there was no tomorrow. Sauerkraut is MK4, broccoli's got K1, and I just ate the living daylights out
And
of
I'll
all of
just
them.
pause here and say, people might not eat sauerkraut very often, but I would classify that as a superfood,
Oh, God.
especially raw. I make it raw. It's got the probiotics in it. It's got the K, it's got fiber. It is an amazing food for your gut, but for overall health.
Oh, I'll do you one better, and you'll love this. This is like what I call the quick trip solution. Okay. The research from Tufts University shows that sausage that's aged, hanging up on a aged sausage, which our grandparents ate all the time, and sauerkraut, which our grandparents and great grandparents ate all the time. Aged sausage is loaded with K. So if you go to Quick Trip, get the brat with the sauerkraut and no bun.
Right. So, and that makes me think of another thing that you did as well is you went moved to a keto diet to try and
Yes.
help clear up your heart problems. Now, are you still on the keto diet for the most
Yes.
part? Have you, yeah?
Yes. Well, since we've talked, I'm doing one meal a day. This is research from Dr. Timothy Noakes in South Africa. His videos are hilarious, but he's a brilliant man. And us folks that coach in the world of track and field, he's considered the guru of the biochemistry of endurance running and stuff like that. So he said, we are designed to eat once a day. So when he published that, and his research, this isn't wild machinations, people poo-pooed it. And I read it with my background in anaerobic bacteria. I said, I know what's going on, and it makes all the sense in the world. So that's what I started doing, one meal a day. And we can get into that later on. Also, about 4 years ago or 5 years ago, just after we talked, I have always had an onion craving. So by accident, I found out that quercetin cuts your craving for eating onions. Well, as it turns out, quercetin is a zinc ionophore, which allows the zinc to go into your cells to kill any reproducing vi viruses. My. So I was already doing this long before COVID hit.
Yeah, and onions are a high water weight vegetable that fill you up as well. So if you're
Yes.
doing the one meal a day, I usually eat over the course of like 3 or 4 hours. I call that kind of my one meal. But onions will fill you up, and a lot of different vegetables and sauerkraut will fill you up. And so you don't feel hungry, even though, for a couple hours later, you still don't feel hungry. So they're very good things to eat. Yeah.
Also, you should have about 1 carrot a day for your beta carotene. Now, what's interesting is a lot of people can't metabolize beta carotene into vitamin A. And vitamin A has its own carrier protein. So about 20%, which is pretty significant. So people should always get their, when they get their blood work done, get your beta carotene checked and get your A checked and just track it to see what's going on. If you have high beta carotene and low A, you probably have that genetic speed bump. And it's important to keep an eye on that. It's one of those things people forget about. Same thing with CoQ10 blood work. The older you get, the less CoQ10 your body makes, much like D. So, and then we can get into biochemistry why that's so important, in addition to helping the beta HDL suck the foam out of the foam cell. So, okay, now we get that going on. And the next thing that happens is if you have sufficient, a combination of MK, well, K1 plus vitamin C selectively kills foam cells, but you got to have K1 on your LDL particle to kill the foam cell.
Okay.
And guess what else is carried on the foam cell or on the LDL? You'll love this one.
What is
Messenger RNA. And where have we heard about that?
it?
And
Right.
what does messenger RNA do? It kills foam cells. My.
So it just all is it all comes together.
Yes,
If
it does.
you have if you can adjust your biochemistry through
Right.
diet and supplementation, it
Right. And
definitely
it,
all comes together.
right. And when you get your gut bacteria involved in this, it takes 12 to 16 weeks to get your gut bacteria really healthy and happy and supporting you. Because one of the things since we talked last, I've always claimed this, but finally the research has shown that the body talks to the gut bacteria routinely. And it's constantly telling the gut bacteria what to do. And cravings that people get is a function of the body talking to the gut bacteria and then going up the vagus nerve to the brain saying, hey, I need some of this stuff like now, which is really kind of neat. A case in point, women getting cravings when they're pregnant. This is the same concept. So, okay, now we got that going. Now we got the matrix glob protein getting all carboxylated with the MK7. And that in turn stimulates the production of a chemical called fetuin A, which is the carrier protein for calcium. Well, if you have sufficient magnesium in your serum and on your red blood cells, you will drive the reaction to drive the calcium out of your pipes, and the fetuin A will grab it and either take it to the bone or to the liver for reprocessing. So you have to have sufficient magnesium. Now, how much is sufficient magnesium? For a guy, an athlete, maybe at the most 1 gram a day of magnesium as magnesium. So that would be like 4 or 5 grams of magnesium malate. And again, you sell various forms of magnesium. Magnesium oxide doesn't work. Magnesium citrate can create bowel distress very quickly. But the other magnesiums do work, but you got to get enough magnesium. For women, in terms of magnesium malate levels, about 3 grams a day should give you what you need. And once you've got all that going in the right
You would
direction,
say the best form, though, just to be clear here, is magnesium malate for
right.
those.
And the
Okay.
reason for that is the research shows that magnesium malate is the most bioavailable magnesium of all the various magnesium forms, and it's the most bowel tolerated. Okay, makes sense to me. So that's what I take. I take between 4 and 5 grams of mag malate a day. Now, that's like you asked me about changes. I've added quercetin and I've taken my zinc and copper in a 15-to-1 ratio, 15 milligrams of zinc, 1 milligram of copper. About 5 years ago, I started adding tocotrienols and about 250 milligrams a day of tocotrienols because the guy who did all the research on that and still does, Dr. Barry Tan, him and I are pretty good friends. And he explained to me the physiology of it. And it's kind of like adding frosting to the cake. It's certainly not going to hurt you. That's for darn sure. And I think it's the commercial brand is called Delta Gold, I believe, or something like that. That stuff
Okay.
really, really does a very
And
good
you
job.
mentioned too that you were exercising a bit more too. And in fact, you had done some pole vaulting. Is that a key part of your, say, your health regimen nowadays still? Do you what's your view on the exercise part of
Okay, get your chemistry right first before you exercise.
it?
Okay,
Okay.
don't put in that case, don't put the cart before the horse. Don't do that.
No.
Now, I'm 71 years old and I still pole vault. In fact, I helped kids pole vaulting this last spring. And a kid ranked number 9 in the world in pole vaulting. I'm a speed nutrition coach. And exercise, if you don't have your chemistry right, is highly overrated. When I worked in the paper mill, I walked between 5 and 7 miles a day with 3-pound boots on each foot and did a lot of stairs. So I was constantly exercising while I was working. I've been retired for 2 years now, and I still do a lot of walking, and I do hurdle training and stuff like that, but not at the in swimming, but not at not the sustained load that I had in the paper mill, but
Sure.
I'm in still decent shape. What you want to do for exercise, it's really simple. Get a heart rate monitor, the chest strap type. Get your watch and work out 1 hour a day. That's all you need to do at 60 to 65% of your heart rate. You'll peel off the visceral fat about 1 pound a week. You'll feel better for it because it just gets you out of the house, as my dad used to say, it'll blow the stink off you. And just that's all you need for starters. And then if people want to increase their load, the question is simply this: why? Because what you don't want is visceral fat, and you just don't want any insulation. So for women, you should get your percent body fat using a DEXA scan. That's the gold standard, about 15 to 18%, and men 12 to 15%. That's where you need to be. That'll lower your blood pressure, that will make everything feel a whole hell of a lot better. And all in all, that's great. Now, if you get down to that level and you want to train some more, the best training is swimming. Just swim. It's easy on everything on your body, especially your joints, and you still get good cardio.
I did that a couple of years ago. My knees were hurting because I was doing a lot of heavy lifting outside and my back and stuff. So I, for a whole winter, I just swam for exercise and it was really good.
Oh God, yeah, it's fantastic for you. It's fantastic. But in lieu of that, just go for a long walk.
Yeah. Well, tell you what, in this particular podcast, we have just a few minutes left. And I wanted to, we might have to do another one to cover a few
I
more
would think
issues.
we should. I
Yeah.
want to cover the COVID thing.
Oh, okay, sure. One thing I want to say is, can you speculate on this? Now, you've had a lot of success and you've had other people that you've given your protocol to and they've reversed their heart disease. It's like amazing. And you know a lot of top cardiologists around the country, around the world. You've spoken with them. Yet it seems not many people know about the prospects of reversing their heart disease naturally, through lifestyle modifications and supplementation. What is the roadblock here? Why aren't hospitals just saying, hey, do this? It's going to work.
Okay, well, the issue for that, if I may put on my PhD cap in leadership for a second here,
Okay.
and I don't want to get on a soapbox, but most people are highly invested in the past. In other words, change is very threatening to them. And when change really comes to them, they get rather emotionally fired up. And they're sometimes called Karens. We've heard that phrase. That person.
Apologies for all the fine women who are named Karen. Yeah, unfortunately, that's a
Exactly. And I find that term very pejorative, and I don't I find it, but it's something we've all heard.
Yeah, I've heard
I
it.
don't
Yeah.
support it. I think it's crazy. I have a phrase, people have asked me about the phrase I use. I call people like that Wi-Fis, willfully ignorant and functionally illiterate. They don't want to research it because they're highly invested in the past and change is threatening to them. And number two, they know better. They know better, but the dynamics of the group is so powerful, they don't have the intestinal fortitude to change. When I tell people that, and it's like, yeah, that's right. They should know better and they do know better, but they won't. Okay. So what do? You lead by example using the concept of servant leadership. You never BS anybody. You tell them the facts and you just let the cards fall where they may. And that's the best you're ever going to do. But the big thing is they're highly invested in the past.
And invested in the current protocols,
Exactly.
right?
Like, yeah, we could get into what happened with how statins came about.
Yeah, well,
But
many people know
that's
about
for a
that,
whole nother whatever. But
yeah. Right.
no,
Well,
it's.
it left in this particular session, we'll probably have another one here to
I would
cover
hope
more
so.
issues. I just wanted to let ask you if there are any other presentations you're giving at any other conferences, or is there a specific website where people can read more about your protocol?
There's the best site is k-vitamins.com, and that also has the various podcasts that I've been on.
Okay.
And then just recently, because we've been asked to produce a really good KD combination for people who don't, let's say a maintenance dose or for athletes, an athlete's dose, we came up with this thing right here called Ultra K, and we just
Okay.
introduced it.
Sure.
It's and I'll send you the blurb on that. And that has its own website of ultrakvitamins.com. And that website is just dedicated to athletes and how to properly train. So if you want to know how to train correctly without getting hurt, that works really well. So we've done both of those. And the Ultra K has got 5,000 IUs of D and 1 milligram of each one of the Ks. But what's interesting, and this is what's important for people who are on shift work, if you take Ultra K with 1 milligram of MK7, you get a 12% bump in your endurance. You don't get tired. And that's the research from North Texas State. And the athletes who take this stuff, they go, oh my God, this actually works. Yeah, that's right, it works. And how it works on your mitochondria. And the Reader's Digest version of the mitochondria. When the mitochondria does its thing because you're working out, it generates peroxides. It also generates CoQ10 and MK4. Well, it'll generate peroxides faster and it'll generate the CoQ10 and MK4, which are the peroxide binders. When you don't have enough binders, you get tired, you get sore. If you have sufficient K floating around in your system, the cells pull the K off the LDL, HDL, and VLDL, put it into where the mitochondria is doing its thing, binds up the peroxides, you don't get as tired. It's pretty cool, really.
Yeah,
It's
that is really
kind of
cool.
neat. I
And
get geeked over this
yeah,
stuff.
we are definitely going to have another session here to cover a few more topics, but it is great to see that you're doing so well, and I am just very positive about the fact that you have been able to save some people from probably cardiovascular death. And that is just amazing. So, Patrick Toit, once again, thank you so much for being on our podcast today.
Thanks for having me, partner. And like I said, the people in Wausau are so lucky having you. They are
Yeah,
so
well,
lucky.
yeah, you're mentioning, yeah, Wausau Wellness Center. We do have many of those supplements that you mentioned to help people perhaps improve their life.
Yeah, perhaps. Yeah.
Yes. All right. Well, thank you, Patrick.
Thank you.
Well, I hope this interview with Patrick Toit whets your appetite for perhaps another podcast with him coming up soon. Maybe we can get his opinions on rejuvenation research, turning back the biological clock. But I hope you also gleaned from this episode that your health and your youth is in your hands. Patrick could have given up, but instead he said, I'm going to figure this out. I'm going to make the tough changes in my life and in my diet and look at the results, how healthy he is now and how many people he has helped. A true inspiration for us all. Until next time, I'm Justin Lowe.